Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from the Holy Gospel in Mark chapter 2. And he, Jesus, said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." This is God's word. Please be seated. In Jesus' name. So today in our Holy Gospel, we come face to face once again with those renowned New Testament bad guys, the Pharisees, who are waiting to catch Jesus in the act of violating the Sabbath. But there's something you should know about the Pharisees. I think we kind of mischaracterize them if we just paint them as the enemies of Jesus. I think that's maybe just painting them with too broad of a brush. You see, the Pharisees were kind of the spiritual superheroes of Jesus' day. I mean, think of it this way. Maybe you know someone in your life or have known people who are just the most pious, devoted Christians you have ever met. And they always seem to be doing good things. They seem to be so much holier than other people. Well, it was the Pharisees in the eyes of the Jewish people. Everyone aspired to be like the Pharisees, to live the life of holiness and devotion to God that they were living. And so when Jesus comes at odds with those Pharisees, it made his ministry very shocking. And we see it again here today. When Jesus corrects a misunderstanding that the Pharisees have, that, let's be frank, is a misunderstanding that a lot of Christians have, and at times a lot of us have as well, even here in our congregation. That somehow the mark of your faith, the mark of being one of God's children, is the number of things that you are doing. And Jesus is correcting a misperception of the Old Testament itself that's incorrect, that a lot of Christians today have themselves. There are a lot of people that think the Old Testament was the time when people were saved by keeping the law, and now in the time of Jesus, we're saved by faith through grace. That's not true. That's how God has always saved his people. Yes, it's true that God gave his people a lot of commands, a lot of laws that they were to follow. But before he gave them those laws, he brought them to Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 19. Before he even gave them the first of the Ten Commandments, he said, "I've brought you out of Israel to be my people. You are my people and I am your God." God established that they were his people first, and then they would do the things that he's given his people to do. And in that regard, that's no different than us today. We have been called to be God's people by grace, through faith, in the death of Jesus Christ our Lord on the cross. We have been made his children. We've been adopted as God's own children. And now we've been told, "You, my children, live this way. This is what your life will look like as my children." It was the same thing in Israel. God was always saving his people by grace, through his work for them, not through their works for him. And yet the Pharisees were kind of missing the boat on that. In their desire to be more pious than everyone else, to live a holier life than everyone else, they had lost sight of the grace of God, the love that was theirs through him, not through their works, but in spite of their lack of works. And so today we come to a discussion Jesus has with the Pharisees about the Sabbath, the day of rest. It's the third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Now, it would be easy to just say, well, we don't keep that commandment anymore because it's definitely different for us as Christians than it ever was for the Jewish people, for the children of Israel in the time of the Old Testament. They were forbidden to do any kind of work on that day. They were to do it on the seventh day of the week. They were to only rest and hear the word of God and rest in his promises. And there were harsh penalties for not keeping that command, for not keeping that rest that God had given them. And so we're tempted to say, well, that law is obsolete now. Now Jesus has come, we can worship any day of the week that we like. The church for nearly 2,000 years has had the custom of gathering on Sunday, the day of our Lord's resurrection. We keep the Sabbath by doing what Luther says, right? We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. The Sabbath now isn't really all that different from the Sabbath of the Old Testament. Not that we have a bunch of laws and rules that we have to keep, but it's in these words that Jesus gave us in our gospel for today. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Jesus calls himself the Lord of the Sabbath. He was the Lord of the Sabbath in Israel 2,000 years before he even came to earth, when Abraham received the promise from God that he would be a great nation. He was the Lord of the Sabbath then. He was the Lord of the Sabbath when God gave the commands to Moses on Mount Sinai. He was the Lord of the Sabbath 2,000 years from today, when he lived and walked the earth. And he remains the Lord of the Sabbath now, even today, and will be for all time. The Sabbath has always been and will always be about finding your rest in God and finding your rest in Jesus, who is the Lord of the Sabbath, who actually is our Sabbath rest according to the book of Hebrews. There is now a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. You see, there are these wonderful parallels between us and the life we live here and now and the people of Israel. A people, Israel, who were brought out of slavery in Egypt and then walked through the wilderness, the desert, for 40 years before reaching the land of promise. And in the same way, you and I have been brought out of slavery to sin. And now we wander through a wilderness, a desert, if you will, until we reach a promised land. The heavenly kingdom our God and Father and his Son Jesus have prepared for us. And in the midst of that wilderness, God desires that his people would find rest. Because let's face it, journeying through a wilderness can be taxing. It can take a lot out of you. We know that Israel was constantly attacked by Satan in the wilderness, constantly giving into the temptation to whine and complain about their circumstances. They disobeyed the Lord's commands when they constructed the golden calf and worshipped it at the foot of Mount Sinai. They complained about their circumstances. They even longed to return to their slavery in Egypt. And in our own wandering through the wilderness of this life, sure enough, don't we complain the same way? Don't we constantly gripe about the circumstances which we have? Forgetting that as God fed Israel with manna from heaven and water poured out for them from a rock, in the same way God feeds us, gives us food and drink and shelter and clothing, all these wonderful first article gifts that our Creator has for us, nonetheless, we whine about our circumstances, we complain. It's because Satan is constantly attacking us, trying to destroy our hope and our confidence in God and his promises. And we, sinful people that we are, we keep longing for the slavery we had to sin, the slavery from which we were freed in Christ our Lord. God saw fit that Israel should find rest, that they should stop their laboring, that they should find, if you will, an oasis in the desert, a place to rest in God's promises. And God has the same thing for you. And that's why this word about the Sabbath, it hasn't really changed. It's fulfilled in Jesus Christ. But the same thing holds true, that as you journey through this wilderness of life, attacked by Satan from every side, God wants you to find rest in Jesus Christ. A place where you can put all your burdens and sins and guilt and shame and receive the forgiveness and life and salvation that pour from his side upon the cross, that you would be nourished and refreshed to continue your journey through this wilderness until we reach our heavenly promised land. That, above all things, is really what we as a church ought to be: an oasis in the wilderness of this world. And I think some of you sense that. You sense the rest and refreshment that come from hearing God's word, hearing his promises, and receiving the gift of Christ's body and blood that are poured out for you and given for you. I hear people say all the time that kind of sense of their week not really starting off right when they miss church at the beginning of the week. That makes sense. Because here, us burdened travelers through the desert of this life, we find rest for our weary souls. We find a Lord and Savior who says, "My death is for you. Your sins are taken away. All that I have done is for your good and your benefit. Come, receive it, rest, and be refreshed." Martin Luther, when he wrote his large catechism, talked about the Lord's Supper being the place where we come to find shelter and protection and salvation from everything that attacks us in this world. He wrote in his large catechism about the Lord's Supper what might be my favorite Luther quote of all time. He said, "If you could see how many knives, darts, and arrows are at every moment aimed at you, you would be glad to come to the sacrament as often as possible." Because that's what the Lord's Supper is. That's what his word is. That's what his promises are. They are your refuge, your rest, your hope against the attacks of this world. The word that says your sin is forgiven. The body and blood that say these are given and shed for you, for your forgiveness. God grant that we here at Our Redeemer would continue to be an oasis, a place of refreshment and rest for those who are weary of traveling through this desert life in which we find ourselves. God grant that each of us would know the rest that he provides us in his body and in his blood. The Sabbath isn't done away with. The Sabbath remains for you and me, because the Sabbath is and has always been Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath. Everything the people of Israel did in the Old Testament was to look forward to what Jesus would do for them on the cross. And everything we do as the church looks back to what Jesus did for us on the cross, while at the same time looking forward to what he has won for us when our desert wandering is done. You know, today, the Jewish people, this has been true for over 2,000 years, the Jewish people keep the Sabbath by eating what they call the Seder meal. And it's a meal where Jewish families and Jewish friends will gather together. Maybe some of you have even at one time attended a meal in someone's home, the home of a Jewish person. And on Friday evening when the Sabbath begins, because the day would begin at sundown, they would eat a Seder meal, and it was a remembrance of the Passover, that they would remember the Sabbath by remembering how God had delivered them from Egypt. We have a better meal, a better Passover, a Passover lamb who gave himself for us, and we find our Sabbath rest by eating his body and drinking his blood, by coming into his presence and finding rest for our weary souls, forgiveness for all our sins, the removal of all our guilt, an answer for all our shame, protection against temptation, and hope, which is so easily sucked away here in this desert world in which we live. May God grant that you continue to find your rest in Christ our Lord, the Lord of the Sabbath, the one who healed on the Sabbath, the one who heals you through the Sabbath, Lord Jesus Christ, through the blood he sheds for you, the salvation he offers freely from his cross, through the promise of eternal life, in the one who lives and reigns forever, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.